No Junk Mail presents The Trading Post, narrated by the author James R. Von Felt, Chapter 21, Day 18. As the snow continued to fall, the sky brightened. Philip moved back to the door, opened it a crack, and listened. He heard nothing, so he closed it again. It was getting light enough that we could see white snow on the pine trees. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, then 20 minutes went by as we waited. It felt like an hour. The red-headed guy tried to talk with Philip. Philip said, "Quiet. Talk wind back." Jake swore softly. He was awake again and lying on his side, tied in the chair.
"They're gonna kill us all," Sam whispered.
Longhair smiled over at Billy when Sam said that. I don't think I'd ever seen Longhair smile before. We waited and waited at high alert. We were ready for anything. But what? Finally, we heard Looney and Enu talking. Then we could hear them walking towards us on the porch. Creak! The old wooden porch creaked with every step. They came in the room and went straight to the wood stove to warm up. Their boots looked like they'd been wading in slushy snow. They told us that they'd seen tracks coming from the west, and these guys had gathered alongside the outer west wall of the store before coming in. Darrell said, "We went across the road and looked in the four cabins to see if anyone was in them, but they're empty." Looney continued, "Then we followed the intruders' tracks down the road. We found a car. It had the word sheriff painted on the front doors. We figured that's how they got here." The older red-headed guy was listening intensely. Then he said, "I told you I'm the sheriff. Now do you believe me?" Philip looked at Enu, then Longhair. They shrugged and remained silent. Philip broke the silence, taking charge again. "Billy, you okay?" Billy replied, "Yeah, sure." "Guard Jake. Be careful. Watch hands." Billy replied, "Okay." He went over to the east wall and sat down. The pistol was on his lap, and his eyes were on Jake. Philip looked out the window. He was in one of his thinking moods, and doing things deliberately. For the first time, he turned his back to the intruders. Then he turned to the intruders and said, "We wrong. You free." He lowered the pistol to his side. Jake hollered and fussed again. The red-haired man told his men to shut Jake up. They went over to Jake and set the chair upright. Scarface stuffed a blue handkerchief in Jake's mouth. Blind Eye tied a red handkerchief around Jake's head to hold the blue one in place. "That'll shut him up," he said. Immediately the tension dropped. "My name is Sheriff Brushmaker," the red-headed man said as he stood up. "These are my deputies, Mac and Al." Blind Eye and Scarface nodded their heads in greeting. The sheriff continued, "Folks around here call me Brush. You can call me Brush or Sheriff. I don't mind which. I've been sheriff in these parks for 15 years, and I've seen a lot, but nothing like this." Pointing to Jake, he said, "We know Jake and Sam, and don't mind telling you Jake is one dangerous guy. He's been in jails up and down the coast from Alaska to Mexico. It's rumored that he's killed men, but people are afraid to testify against him. Some think he's nuts. Others think he's a killer. Still others both." While the deputies leaned against the wall, one on either side of Jake, the sheriff walked across the room looking for a chair. He picked one up, brought it close to the wood stove and sat in it, and continued his story. "The owner of the trading post came stumbling into Klama a few days ago. Klama is a little village almost straight west of the trading post and a few miles north. 8 miles north of Klama is where our headquarters is, in Kelso, the county seat. Anyways, his truck went off the road because he'd been beaten up so bad he couldn't really drive it. The doctor called us. We went to Klama and talked to the store owner. He told us that two men had approached him at the trading post, saying they wanted to buy a pistol, which he showed them. They took the pistol and loaded it, then they robbed him and beat him. He said he gave them a good fight, but they got the best of him and knocked him out. When he came to, He saw that they had torn up the store and storeroom, ransacked his money box, and stolen his rowboat. Somehow he got in his truck and drove to Kalama. He was not sure how he did it, because he was in bad shape. The doctor and his wife took him to the hospital at Kelso. We drove down there to take a look. Looking at Sam and Jake, the sheriff said, "Well, we know these two. Sam there, he's not dangerous when he's by himself, but he's not too smart. And he's in and out of trouble and jail all the time for minor stuff. Jake, on the other hand, is mean, smart, and slick as an eel. The two of them broke out of the county jail 3 days ago. They were in for stealing liquor. By the time we got word that Jake was wanted in 2 states for kidnapping, robbery, forgery, extortion, and assault, they had broken out and disappeared. We've got law enforcement from 4 counties looking for these boys." The sheriff stood up, walked over to Jake, and put his hand on Jake's shoulder. Jake winched. "I won't feel good until we get this one back in a high-security cell," he said. Then he sat down in the chair and continued, "These deputies of mine are experienced trackers and were willing to come with me up here to see if we could pick up the trail. When we got here, we knew somebody was in the store. We saw the rowboat and the rafts tied up on the dock, but we're not prepared for an ambush when we came in. At first, I was afraid that Jake had organized a gang, but then I saw him tied up over there. Did I tell you there's a reward for Jake's capture? A big one." When we heard there was a reward for capturing Jake, we all looked at each other. We weren't sure how much Longhair and Brave understood, but they were listening intently. Enu was signing to them, but sometimes he didn't have signs for all the words, and he may have left some out. When the sheriff was done talking, Philip told him our story, how we got started from Vancouver for an overnight trip, had met Enu, killed the cougars, had crossed the lake in a storm, had met the Indians, had captured Jake and Sam, and finally made it to the trading post. Then we showed the sheriff the money box. When Billy handed the sheriff the money box, Jake had another fit, kicking and squirming and making as much noise as he could with the handkerchief in his mouth. The sheriff put the box on the floor in front of him and pulled the top off. When he looked in, a great big smile came over his face. The deputies gathered around him and looked pleased too. "Well, looks like some of it's here. We'll have to find out where the rest is," the sheriff said, looking at Jake. I saw Longhair shoot a look at Brave. Billy saw it, too. Longhair had not moved his head. It was just a quick glance with his eyes that meant something. But what? From then on, Longhair and Brave seemed uneasy. Normally, they are calm and collected, no matter what was happening. So, seeing them uneasy made me uneasy, too. We returned the rifles and knives to the sheriff and his deputies. They stacked their rifles in the corner. Philip went over to Longhair, Brave, and Enu, and they talked. They used their native language. We couldn't understand them. At the same time, the sheriff and his deputies had their heads together and were talking quietly. We couldn't hear what they were saying. Philip went over and interrupted the sheriff, telling him that Longhair, Brave, Looney, and I were going out to get some fresh meat. The sheriff nodded. Philip said we needed to use their rifles to hunt, and he nodded his head again and went on talking with his deputies. Philip picked up their 2 rifles from the corner, came to us and motioned to Looney to come over to us. Once Looney had joined our group, Philip signed to Looney and me, "Do what they tell you." "Good hunt," he said. Philip's message was strange. Of course we'd do what Longhair and Brave told us to do. And he knew it. We shrugged our shoulders and all 4 of us went out the door. It wasn't real cold, but we noticed the loss of the warm room. Looney and I carried the bows and a handful of arrows. Longhair and Brave carried the rifles. At first, we just stood on the porch in the snow while Longhair looked all around. Snow was coming down lightly, and there was about 4 inches on the ground. The sky was dark and ugly. "More snow coming," Looney said. "That reminds me. What falls a lot in the winter but never gets hurt?" I looked at Looney and gave him a look of consternation. This was no time for a joke. "Can it," I replied and turned away. Snow, came a soft reply. We moved south, straight across the road, and entered the dark forest. In the woods, the snow was only about 2 inches deep. Lots of snow was sticking to the trees, high overhead, and falling in globs. When we got into the woods a ways, Longhair and Brave gave us rifles and took the bows and arrows. We walked quietly in single file, seemingly looking for deer tracks. We came across a trail with fresh deer tracks but went right past it. I looked at Looney and he looked at me and we shrugged. I figured Longhair and Brave knew a lot more about hunting deer than we did. We'd have sure enough set up an ambush along this trail and wait for something to come along if we were hunting. But we weren't hunting. We were just walking. Longhair and Brave had their bows slung over their shoulders and arrows in their hands. This is not how they'd be carrying their bows and arrows if they were hunting, but we didn't say anything. We arced to the right as we went deeper into the woods. It became clear that we would end up back at the lake if we continued in this way. We were moving so quietly that we could hear everything. Birds, squirrels, even snow falling off the tree branches. We trudged along behind Longhair and Brave for an hour or so before we came out of the woods at the road which led back to the trading post. Longhair put up his hand and we stopped. We had not said a word since we left the trading post, but now Longhair and Brave whispered to each other. Then Brave disappeared into the forest. We could hear and smell the lake, but we couldn't see it. Longhair motioned to Looney and me to come to him. We were west of the trading post now and on the road that led to it. Longhair pointed to the tire tracks in the snow. There were 2 inches of fresh snow in the tracks, showing a car had passed here several hours ago. Longhair pointed to us and signed for us to go eastward towards the trading post, following the tire tracks. As I moved out, I looked back, and Longhair was standing there watching us. The next time I looked back, he was gone. I had a feeling that something was up, and I was puzzled. Looney was puzzled, too. Since we didn't want to make noise, we didn't talk about it. Instead, we signed to each other. Story continues on Chapter 22.